Well, this morning we're turning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. And from verses 1 to 5, we find the example of faith, promise, missions, giving in the Bible. So if you're wondering what giving by faith to missions is, well, let's explore this subject this morning and allow the Lord to teach us and encourage us today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and let's look at verses 1 to 5 to begin with. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us as we study His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your precious word. Lord, thank you for every teaching that you've given us to the New Testament church, so that, Lord, we would be a church that is well-pleasing to thee. Lord, we do ask that we would allow you to be the Lord of our lives, not just in our giving, Lord, but in our complete being, so that, Father, our lives would be a life of worship, a life of honour and pleasure to thee. And Lord, as a local church here in Cairns, we pray, Father, that you would use us in a mighty way to do your will and pleasure in this time. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The following illustration I would like to share with you is entitled "The Lifespan of $1. How far does $1 stretch?" Well, if you spend $1 to buy a lunch, as part of a lunch, that dollar will only last around half an hour. A dollar spent on a holiday usually only lasts about 10 days. A dollar spent on nappies, well, it would be rare for that dollar to last for 2 weeks. A dollar spent on a dental appointment might last you 6 months to 2 years, depending on how well you brush your teeth and floss. For some of it's more than 2 years. A dollar spent on a new car usually lasts maybe around five years. But a dollar spent for God, friends, lasts for eternity. And that's the perspective we need to have as God's people. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. And by faith we understand that when we invest in the things of God, we are not just investing in temporary things on this earth. We are indeed laying up treasures in the eternal heavens. And as God's people, part of our vision as a church family is to be obedient to the Lord in obeying the Great Commission. The Bible tells us to go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel. Now, it's obvious that all of us here this morning can't go into all the world and to be missionaries, because if we did, well, there would be no church here this morning. There would be no one left. There would be no one here in this hall. And in fact, there would be no one to support missionaries that have gone. And God's plan and purpose is for some to go and also for others to stay. Now, before we go on, let's be reminded that we are all missionaries. Amen? Wherever we are, whether it's in Cairns, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's on a trip to visit our family overseas, whether we go into all the world, whether God sends us to a mission field after a time of staying, He sends us to go, whether or not He calls us to go, we are always missionaries for the Lord. But how can you and I practically be a part in reaching the far reaches of this world for Jesus Christ? Well, God has told us how in His Word, simply by you and I partnering with missionaries that have gone, partnering with them in prayer, and partnering with them financially to help them to do what the Lord has called them to do. And that's what we call in this church faith, promise, missions, giving. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, the example of missions giving is given to us. Now, just by way of introduction, the background to this letter, this portion of the letter to 2 Corinthians, is that Paul was writing to the Corinthian church down in the south of what we know as Greece today to encourage them to give. Now, in the past, the Corinthians had promised to give an amount of money to support the suffering Christians in Jerusalem and to be a blessing to them. And in fact, their willingness to give encouraged other churches to give, but as the Apostle Paul writes, they still had not fulfilled their promise. The Corinthians still had not sent the gift they had promised to give. So what the Apostle Paul very interestingly did, he didn't rebuke them, he didn't tell them off. No, he simply pointed to another couple of churches in Macedonia and he used them as an example of how to give. And it's within these Macedonian churches' example that we find the principle of missions giving. Now, we know that the Macedonian churches also said, yes, we want to get on board and we want to send some financial support, some gifts to the needy brethren in Jerusalem. And we might say, well, how is that missions giving? Well, that was a once-off gift. That was a gift to needy brethren. But when we understand how they give in this beginning of the chapter, we see an example of their giving. But notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter number 4. If you'll turn with me there for a moment, Philippians chapter number 4. So here in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is in fact writing to these Christians in Macedonia, the ones whom he will use as an example to the Corinthians to encourage them to give. Notice what he says in chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says in chapter 4, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto," what's the next word? "My necessity." You see, not only did the churches in Macedonia, including the Philippians, give to this once-off giving to the believers in Jerusalem, but they also gave to support the Apostle Paul as a missionary. Can you see that there this morning? Can you see that as the Apostle Paul went to Philippi, and we understand the miraculous work that took place, they were thrown in the Philippian jail, there was Paul and Silas, do you remember singing praises to God? God miraculously sent an earthquake, and then God brought the jailer to his knees, he received Christ as Saviour, and perhaps the first church in Philippi began in the Roman jailer's home, where he and his whole household believed and were baptized. And the Bible tells us that as the Apostle Paul went forward in his journeys, his missionary journeys, the believers there in Philippi said, "Hang on a second, we need to support the Apostle Paul. We need to give to encourage him to keep going. Because we saw what the Lord did in this place with the Apostle Paul, and hey, we want to be involved in his continuing missionary endeavors." You see, the Apostle Paul had a special calling from God. He was a man that was called to go. Many of us this morning are called to stay. Maybe some of us later on will be called to go. But whatever it may be, there are those that are called to go, and God's will is for his churches, his people that have been called to stay, to support those who are going. You see, the Apostle Paul was called to go to places that the Philippians could not go. He was called to risk his life in ways that the Philippians were not called to risk. He was called to go into different places in the Gentile world to preach the gospel. And the Bible tells us that it's not that Paul wanted money or support, in fact, but he desired that by others partnering with him, they would likewise be involved in the work of God in the regions beyond. Notice verse number 17. We see that there together. Let's read verse 17 on two, shall we? 1, 2. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Friends, this is a wonderful verse to memorize. See, the Apostle Paul was careful to say, hey, look, God will provide for all my needs. I'm not panicking regarding how I'm going to live day to day as a missionary. We know the Apostle Paul could work. He had skills in tent making, and at times he did that. But he was saying to the church, look, it is a benefit to you that you give and partner with me in my missionary endeavors, because I desire fruit that will abound, increase to your account. Well, what does that mean? That means as the Apostle Paul led souls to Jesus Christ as Savior, and understand, as churches supported him, they were also a part of that soul-winning work of the Apostle Paul. Amen. Every soul he led to Christ, the ones that supported him, could rejoice likewise. In fact, divinely inspired, the Word of God tells us, every soul, every work of a missionary that we partner with is fruit that abounds to whose account? Yeah. Amen. Amen. What an amazing supernatural reality. That you and I from afar can be involved in the work of God by praying, by giving, and you and I will reap the fruit. You and I will one day enter the gates of eternity, and first of all, we'll have to give an account. The Bible says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And as Christians, we can have the joy of knowing if we have endeavored to give by faith to missions, to partner with missionaries, there are going to be some wonderful blessings written down on that account. There's going to be some wonderful joys and celebration in heaven to say and to praise the Lord for allowing us to partner with missionaries. Now you see, partnering with missionaries is not just providing a means for them to stay. No, it's you and I actively fulfilling the Great Commission. And as we simply look this morning at the example of the Macedonian churches, the church in the Christians in Philippi, we see an example of how to give. How to give. The example of missions giving. Notice before we go on in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. What are the next words? Well-pleasing unto God. Now, if we have any question whether God is pleased if we give, the answer is right here. You see, God wants His churches to be giving churches, would you agree? God wants His churches to support missionaries sent abroad. God wants His churches to receive the joy of fruit abounding to our account. But the question is, are we willing to get on board? Are we willing to, by faith, be a part of worldwide evangelism through this local New Testament church in 2016? Well, let me encourage you, church family, just to open your heart to the example of missions giving given to us back in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. As we turn back there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, as we've understood the background to Paul's writing, he's talking about giving, he's encouraging the Corinthians to give, and he said, look, have a look at these Macedonians. Let me tell you about their giving. And by the way, their giving went beyond giving to Jerusalem. Their giving went beyond that. Their giving was invested in me as a missionary. What does the Bible tell us about their giving in chapter number 8? Well, notice the first two verses together. The Bible tells us, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. First of all, this morning I'd like us to see the passion in their giving. The passion in their giving. These Christians in Macedonia were going through two things that so often stop the average Christian from giving anything to God. They were going through poverty and persecution. That's what the Bible tells us. Notice verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction. You see, these Christians in Macedonia were not Christians that were living in ease. No, they were heavily persecuted for their belief and for their faith. The word affliction means persecution. It means tribulation. Some of you were here last Sunday night when we looked at the miracle of God's salvation in Athens. Do you remember when Paul was in Athens preaching the gospel? He saw such great wickedness and paganism, and he preached the gospel on Mars Hill, and the Bible tells us that souls were saved. But what was it that led him to Athens? Well, he was driven there, and not by his own choice, but because of the persecution that forced him to flee there. Because remember, he went to Thessalonica, and there were Jews that rose up against him and persecuted him, so he had to go to Berea, and then he ended up in Athens. You see, in these parts of the world, in Macedonia, where Thessalonica was, and Philippi, there were those who were against the gospel, those who were seeking to murder those who preached the gospel, and who would do anything against Christianity that they could. You see, these are where these Philippians were living, these Macedonians. They were believers living under persecution. They were facing rejection. Do you remember last year when we learned about the seven churches of the book of the Revelation? How many of you remember the churches? Do you remember how we learn about the charge from God to separate from the world? And how we understood that being able to work in the Roman Empire meant you had to submit yourself unto Roman government laws. And the Roman government ran the trade guilds of the day. So if you wanted to be involved in a trade, you needed to obey the rules of the union, just like trade unions today. But it was different back then because, you see, in the Roman Empire, Jesus Christ was not God, is that correct? Who was God? That's right, Julius Caesar was God. Caesar was God. The Caesar at the time was God. And he was the emperor, but he was seen as deity. And if you failed to bow down before Caesar, then you lost your job more often than not. Not only that, you were persecuted. If you weren't willing to take part in the worship services that took place in the trade unions, which often involved immorality and idolatry and great wickedness, then you were outcast. You see, many of these believers were facing persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Not only did they face deep persecution, notice what the Bible says in verse number 2, and their deep, what's the next word?
Poverty.
They were not only persecuted, but they were poor. Now, how many of you have ever used that word, that phrase, I've hit rock bottom? Is that familiar to you? Yeah, I've hit rock bottom. What does that mean? Well, that means we can't go any lower. You know, you've hit the rock, the foundation, underneath the ground. You know, you can sink through the dirt a bit, but when you hit the bedrock, that's it. You can't go any lower. That's what this word means. Deep poverty. It means rock bottom destitution. Well, why were they so poor? No doubt it's because they were being persecuted. They were losing their means of income. They were ostracized. They were rejected. They were suffering great poverty. Poverty. They were hated by those around them. Now, would you agree with me this morning that these Christians were facing hard times? Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, in order to encourage the Corinthians to keep their promise to give to the believers in Jerusalem, he said, hang on a second, have a look at the giving of the Macedonians. Have a look at their heart in giving. They were poor believers. They were suffering in deep poverty. But, notice with me, their circumstances did not stop them from giving. What does the Bible say? Verse 2, once again, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Even though they had nothing except the basics to live on, they were still joyful. They were still filled with the Spirit of God. And herein do we see the passion of these believers. You see, their passion for living was not in what they had, but who they had. Would you agree? They had the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew the Apostle Paul was not just taking part in any endeavor, but he was a missionary for God, and the most important work in this world is God's work. And so they understood that there is nothing more important than to be involved in the work of God. And in fact, their joy flowed over so greatly, the Bible says it abounded, in verse 2, notice there, unto the riches of their liberality. That means their joy overflowed, overcame their poverty, and it allowed them to be more generous than they ever would be because of their passion for Jesus Christ. You see, they were generous though they were poor. They were joyful though they were persecuted. I hope you can see this morning that these Christians were not living for money. They weren't living for comfort. Their passion was Jesus Christ. As Brother Will mentioned on Wednesday night, friends, missions is not a program. Amen? Now, we have a way of giving, but friends, that is not a program. Missions needs to be a passion of your heart and mind. We need to be passionate for reaching the lost here in the city of Cairns just as much as we do with partnering with missionaries going to the regions beyond and seeing the lost saved around the world. Missions needs to be a passion. You see, these were passionate believers. Why? Because they still gave beyond their deep rock-bottom poverty. Now you may say, Pastor, how could they give? Well, they just gave. We'll see in a moment how. But they gave what they had. In fact, they gave beyond what they could afford because they loved the Lord and they loved to be involved in the work of God in seeing others saved. And friends, when it comes to missions, and perhaps when you receive the card this morning, that little card ought not to make you nervous. Amen? You ought to say, thank God I can be in a church in the year 2016 that still loves and desires to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Friends, we're not sponsoring a rock band here at Coastline Baptist Church. Amen? We're not promoting our own selves and trying to become the most popular band in town. No, our desire is to honour Jesus Christ. Our desire is to reach this lost world for God's glory. How do we do that? Well, we fall in line with the commandment of God to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, to send missionaries out and to support missionaries that have gone out. And in order to do that, you and I need to have the same passion as these believers. You see, our circumstances don't mean a thing. The question is, where is our heart? Are you excited about missions this morning? Are you excited about knowing that, hey, what I give and whom I pray for encourages them, allows them to stay there, partners with them on the mission field, and every time I hear a praise point, I can just as much rejoice with our missionaries. What an amazing thing. A passion for missions. A passion for missions. What is your passion this morning? Is it money? Let's admit, so often for all of us it is. We get an increase in our payment, in our wage, and we start to get excited about money. So often we don't get excited about, hey, how much more can I give to missions? And when things are lean, what is the first thing that we cut? Is it our entertainment? Is that the first thing that we cut? Yes or no? No, it's not. Is it our holidays? Is that the first thing we cut? No, it's not. In fact, more often than not, the first thing we cut when we are going through difficult times is our giving to God. Now, you don't need to say amen. I don't want to embarrass you. But the reality is, what goes out the window first? Our giving to God. And what does God tell? What does that tell to God? That tells to God that He is the least important and He is the least important. We are least passionate about the things of God than we are of the things of this world. Let's be honest. Missions giving is a wonderful way to turn all that around. To get excited for God. To get passionate about the things of God. To see the example of these Macedonians and say, hey, look, if these ones gave in such persecution and such poverty, wow, can we not give today as a local church? Friends, back then they didn't have Centrelink, let's be honest. They had no social support. In fact, the government was against them. Amen? Many of them were in hiding. Friends, we have great opportunity to be involved in worldwide evangelism here in the city of Cairns, in the nation of Australia. Great poverty. Great poverty. Let me say before we go on, you know, giving to missions is a way to support missionaries, but it's always by faith. And sometimes God is going to test our hearts, test our faith. It may mean that He will allow a time of less in order to see what we will do with our giving. Sometimes He will allow our faith to be tested. But whatever our circumstances may be, friends, God is faithful and His work is supreme and the most important thing that we ought to be passionate about today, the work of God, the passion of their example. Notice next in your Bibles, are you still with me this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Notice the power of their example. It's hard for us to imagine, how could Christians so poor, so persecuted, give anything to the work of God? Notice verse 3. The Bible says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." The Bible says very clearly that they gave beyond their power. Now, there were Christians in that church that were absolutely rock bottom poor that still gave. Now, they did not just give what was left over. That's what the Bible says. They did not just give what they could afford within their budget. In fact, they gave, what does the Bible say? Beyond their power. They gave beyond their ability to give. They gave to missions, to the brethren also in Jerusalem, that which they could not afford to give. That's what the Bible is saying. They gave that which they could not afford to give. What an amazing example. What an amazing challenge for me as a Christian. These believers giving beyond their power to give. How could they do that? Well, it's summed up in one word. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. You see, these believers sacrificed. Friends, there is no true giving outside of sacrifice. We might give what we can afford, but friends, that's not sacrificing. That's just what's left over. That's just what we think we can afford. But friends, giving to God means sacrificing. There is no giving without sacrificing. In Matthew chapter number 12, verse 41, excuse me, Mark chapter number 12. If you'll please turn with me there for a moment. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ identified this truth in Mark chapter 12. As He saw the giving taking place in front of Him, notice His remarks in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Verse 41, it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." So the Lord noticed two different groups of people giving, the rich and the poor. Now the rich gave much because they had much. Notice verse 42. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And He said, and He called unto Him His disciples," and He wanted His believers, Christians, He wanted the believers around Him, His disciples, to note this important truth. "He said, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in," what are the next words? "All that she had, even all her living." What was the Lord saying? There is no true giving without sacrifice. That is a Bible truth. When it comes to giving, the Macedonian believers gave beyond their power. They gave all that they had. They gave what they could not afford. That's why the Apostle Paul used their example to encourage the Corinthians to give, to encourage them to say, hey, no matter what you're going through financially and physically, you can still give by faith. You can still give, trusting in God to provide, but understand before we go on any further, there is no giving outside of sacrificing. We have to be willing to sacrifice. You know, it's interesting as we think of the church in Philippi, it's the Macedonians, and you know, these churches, who were they planted by? Planted by the, which missionary? The Apostle Paul. Amen? They understood, if not more than others, the need for missions. Amen? I wonder if the Philippian jailer was there saying, hey, let's give to Paul because he gave his all for me. Amen? He came as a missionary to preach the gospel to me. See, they understood firsthand. And friends, I think it's a wonderful blessing to be a part of a local church here in the city of Cairns that was started by a missionary. Amen? That was started by a missionary who was willing to come. And friends, if Pastor Dan and through this ministry of the local church resulted in your salvation, friends, it ought to be your joy and passion to support missions work around the world, because you know the value of sacrificing to send a missionary. How was Pastor Dan sent to the city of Cairns? Well, he had supporting churches. He had believers that were giving, like the churches in Macedonia, to send a missionary. Amen? That's how he could stay here financially. That's how he could be involved in the work of God from such a long distance away from home. See, missions make sense. But we can only give if we purpose in our hearts to sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice? Now, that's an uncomfortable word to our flesh. But let me encourage you, it's an exciting word. It's an exciting word. It's not a suffering word. It's an exciting word. Because you see, they sacrificed also, but the Bible clearly tells us that they gave by faith. By faith. How are you and I able to possibly get through the barrier of selfishness and worry and fear of how we are going to make a living? How can we push through that barrier? The only way to do that, brethren, is by faith. You see, the Bible tells us that they gave beyond their power. You see, they gave in a power that they did not have. They gave beyond what they could afford, but they needed strength from an outside source. They needed a grace and a strength beyond what they had naturally. You see, it's unnatural for anyone to sacrifice these days. Now, the rich give plentifully, and many rich people are lifted up on a pedestal for their giving, and everyone praises them, but they give billions because they have trillions. They give millions because they have billions. That's not sacrificing. That's just giving to make sure the world doesn't think you're too stingy. We'll keep buying your products or liking you as a celebrity. Friends, that's not giving. Jesus Christ told us what was giving. He said giving is when you give and you don't have anything to give. When you can't afford it. You give your all. You give your heart. You have a passion. You see, these believers gave beyond their power. Now, one day, if the Lord wills for us to have our own building, it'd be a wonderful blessing to have a grand piano. Amen? To have a real piano in the church and to hear music being played from that piano. But if I tried to lift that piano on my own, would you agree that I could not do that? Yes or no? How many of you would agree? Amen? No way. I could try, but you see, it would be beyond my power to lift that piano. What would I need? Well, I'd need a few other strong men in the church to come and help me out, and together we could lift that piano. Is that correct? I would need help from an outside source. And you see, what took place in the hearts of the believers in Macedonia, they gave beyond their power what they could afford to give because there was an outside power working within their hearts. God was at work in their hearts, and they knew that they could give with confidence and that God would provide in all their needs, for all their needs, because they gave by faith. They gave by faith. You see, the Bible tells us that just shall live by faith. In everything and anything we do, we are to live by faith. We are to understand that when God calls us to give, He is no man's debtor. Amen? That means you will not be left in debt. That means you will not be left without your needs met. God tells us if we seek Him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, what are those things? Food, clothing, and shelter shall be added unto you. God said, hey, if you put me first, and that's a command, seek ye first, if you put me first, here's the promise, that I'll provide for all your needs. God doesn't promise to make us rich. God doesn't promise to give back what we give. In fact, He gives something much more, greater riches, the riches of joy, the riches of fulfillment, the riches in eternity to come, eternal joys. You see, God promises to provide for our needs, but here's the crunch, here's the punchline. How can you and I possibly sacrifice and give what we cannot afford? Friends, the only way to do that is to give by faith. To give by faith. That's why our missions program this morning is called Faith, Promise, Missions, Giving. We put faith, our trust and confidence in the promises of God, and based on His promises, we make a commitment written down on a card that God has laid on our hearts to give a weekly amount to the worldwide missions outreach from this local church. Faith giving, friends. Faith giving. They gave by faith. And you see, the only way that you and I can possibly give is to give by faith. If we give by budget, we will only give what we can afford. Is that correct? Friends, missions giving is not part of our budget. Now, tithing is not an act of giving by faith. Tithing is simply giving a portion back to God of what God has given to us. That's not a step of faith. That is just simply a step of obedience to the Lord. Missions giving is a separate kind of giving. It is a giving to missions by faith. You see, Paul did not command the Corinthians to give a gift to the believers in Jerusalem. Paul did not command the Philippians and the Macedonians, the Thessalonians, to give to support him on the mission field. In fact, he said, not because I desire a gift. I've never asked you to give, but I've noted your giving. And you've chosen to give. And your example is a shining example to other churches to encourage them to give. You see, they gave by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If I give this amount to missions that I know, pastor, that I cannot afford, what hope do I have to make it through this year? Friends, our hope and trust is in God. Amen? Our hope and trust is in the promises of God that never fail. And friends, in over 10 years of missions giving, I can guarantee you from my personal testimony, God has never failed myself and now my family once. When He has called us to give each year to missions, God has always provided. Now, I'm not saying there haven't been seasons of leanness, but you see, those times were testing times. Are you really going to trust in me, the Lord says? How many of you understand God tests our faith? Absolutely. Abraham, I want you to take your son, the only son whom thou lovest, and offer him unto me as a living sacrifice. What was God doing? Testing his faith. Friends, faith will only be purified through the process of testing. And missions giving is a wonderful way to open our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to increase in my faith. Help me, Lord, to trust in you. Do we really trust in the promises of God? Why does walking by faith and money so often appear in the Scriptures? Why is that? Because so often our faith is in our substance, in our means, in our comfort. And God says, hey, I want to get you out of your comfort zone so you can enjoy the true riches. Now it's time to give. And these believers were certainly out of their comfort zone, were they not? Why? Because they gave beyond their power. They had nothing to give. And yet they gave. And in fact, they abounded. They went increased forward in such a way that they were generous in their poverty. A poor person that's generous, friend, is the indication of a heart of giving, a heart of passion, a heart of love. they gave passionately to the Lord. They gave. Luke 16, verse 11. If you remember in our parable of the unjust servant, the Lord says, "If you therefore have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" You see, if we put our faith in the Lord in the basics of life, our income, our finances, friends, God says that He will entrust us with greater riches. He will allow our faith to grow to the point that we can become more involved in the work of God. We'll be more passionate. We'll be more willing to put our faith in the Lord as He leads us through this time of faith regarding our finances. You see, finances is basic level Christianity. God doesn't say, hey, giving by faith is a great thing and it's like the top-notch a goal of a Christian. No, God says that's the basic stuff. If you haven't entrusted me with your finances, the unrighteous mammon, you'll never experience the true riches. And that's why missions giving is such a healthy thing for a church, because it stretches us. It enables us to be challenged and say, all right, Lord, you've laid this amount on my heart to give. It's not an amount that fits in my budget. It's an amount that makes me nervous. It's beyond my power to give. But Lord, through this, help me to trust in you, in things unseen, how you will provide as I give according to what you have me to give. That's how these believers gave. In fact, notice back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible tells us that they gave beyond their power. Lastly, in verse 3, what does it say? They were willing of themselves. Now, this is an important truth. They were willing of themselves. They gave because they wanted to give. Not because the Apostle Paul commanded them to, but because they desired to give. They desired to give because they had a passion for God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Notice there with me. Chapter 9 and verse 7 over the page. The Bible says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." You see, giving, friends, when it comes to missions, is not commanded by God. God doesn't say, "You're commanded to give a tenth to missions." He doesn't say that. But the Apostle Paul commended this church. He encouraged them by using them as an example to others. And God reveals to us His way of supporting missionaries. And the Bible tells us a way to give and a way not to give. God calls us to give sacrificially by faith. That's how we can have power to give. But thirdly, to be willing. To be willing. And let me say this. This morning's message is not to put pressure on you to give. It's simply to show you what God's Word says and to pray and say, "Lord, what would you have me to give?" That's between you and God, friend. My giving and my family's giving is between me and God. In fact, it's so private, we have little sealed envelopes for you to put your missions giving in, so no one will ever know what you're giving, because that's between you and God. We're not here to exalt man. We're here to worship the Lord. But you see, these believers were willing to give to the Lord of themselves. They were willing to give. They were not forced. And quickly, how do we know what to give? Well, the just shall live by faith. If we live by faith, we believe by faith, God speaks through His Word. So simply, you and I need only to pray and say, "Lord, what would you have me to give?" Spend time in the Word of God and allow God to show you what He would ask you to commit in 2016. That's simply it. But you see, in order to ask that question, we need to be willing to sacrifice. We need to be willing to live by faith. We need to allow God to work in our hearts so that we don't give grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, giving without sacrificing is not giving. Giving without faith is not giving. Giving without being willing is not giving. See, God is very careful to point out that if we give because we feel pressured to give, then that does not please God. If we give grudgingly and we put our missions giving in every week and we think, "Lord, you don't understand how much this is costing me. Lord, Why do I need to give this? I mean, other people are looking as the bag is passed around. And I feel so guilty, I have to give something. Maybe I'll just drop an empty envelope in there. You know, just to feel, friends, that's not giving. That's giving grudgingly. That's giving because of necessity, being forced to give. What kind of giver does God love? The Bible says, a cheerful giver. One that has a passion for missions. And understand that every time we give, it's an investment in eternity. Amen? Every dollar for God is an investment in eternity. And that's how we need to see the work of God. That's how these believers saw the work of God. Faith promise is not commanded. Giving to missionaries is not commanded of God. But it does prove where our faith is at. It does prove to ourselves where our heart is at. Do we really love the Lord, or are we in love with the things of the world? Can you see this morning why this is healthy for us? Amen? Healthy. Do you want to grow in 2016? Well, our theme is the theme of faith. Here we go. Faith, promise, missions, giving. Are we going to allow God to stretch us a little bit this year? Amen? Are we going to allow God to maybe entrust our church with greater riches, more missionaries, maybe more visiting missionaries, maybe more lives that we can be encouraged by and be an encouragement to? Maybe God perhaps will set a missionary vision in the future to come for our children and say, thank God I was raised in a church that had a heart for missions. And a young child might grow up and say, look, the most important thing in this world is not going out and getting a career and making as much money as I can and be popular in this world to be comfortable, but I want to be a servant of God, and if God would call me to go, I want to go. Friends, that does not happen in a church that does not have a heart for missions. Our children will just be pumped through the system of the world, and then they'll go, they'll move to another place, and you won't see them again, parents. Amen. You can say amen. They're gone. Off they go. What are we training our children for? What are we raising them up to be? Servants of God or servants of this world? Well, we need to be sure in Coastline Baptist Church, we have a growing heart for missions, amen? We have a growing desire to be a missionary church. They gave willingly. They gave willingly. Before we go on to our last point, let me say this. If you will only give because you feel forced to give, what does the Bible say? Don't give. That's what God says. God loveth a cheerful giver. What does that mean about the uncheerful giver? Well, God says, don't give. That's not an offering that's worthy for me. That's why we have an offering in Coastline Baptist Church. I believe giving is an act of worship. I believe we need to worship the Lord with our offerings so that they would be well-pleasing to Him. I believe it's an act of worship, an act of love, an act of devotion, an act of thanksgiving and praise, and say, not only, Lord, thank you that we can have the opportunity to give, but by faith I'm excited to see the next prayer letter come in. Now we're going to read one out tonight. Some wonderful praise points from the Dagans. Friends, we need to be excited. But are you willing to be a part of giving to missions? Lastly, notice, as Paul concludes their example in chapter number 8. Thank you for your patience this morning. We're almost done. Notice verse 4, just quickly. They pretty much forced the gift upon the missionary. Amen? Sometimes we have missionaries that come to our church and they say, no, brother, I don't want that gift. Well, we force it onto them. Amen? We say, no, Lord has laid this on our heart. We want to give. We desire to give. That's the attitude of the Spirit-filled Christian. The Bible says that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, in this context, it was the gift to the believers in Jerusalem. And that was the gift that they were giving at this point. But this was a missions church. These were missionary-minded churches in Macedonia. And verse number 5 says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see, these believers gave much more than money. And missions, friends, it's not about money. Missions is about our heart. Where is our heart? They were first, what does the Bible say? Gave their own selves to the Lord. You see, their gift, their giving was an act of worship to the Lord based upon what Christ had done for them. Their giving was fueled, inspired, generated, stirred up within them because the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ given to them. Notice chapter 8 and verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You see, Paul declares the example of Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left the glories and the riches of heaven, and he came down to the sin-cursed, wicked world and took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself the flesh of a man. Why? For our sakes, the Bible tells us, does it not? For our sakes, he became poor. He who was rich became poor, so that we, through his sacrifice for sin, might enter into the eternal riches of his forgiveness. You see, every believer that repents of their sins and puts their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation is rich beyond anyone imagined. Friends, it is the riches beyond the world can ever understand, how we can be forgiven for our sins once and for all through the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's why Christ came. And in his sacrifice once and for all, he displayed, showed the example of what it means to give. And simply put this morning, if Christ gave his all and died for me, then as a Christian, no sacrifice is too great. Is that correct? If Christ gave his all and died for me to save a wretched sinner like me, then no sacrifice is too great for Jesus Christ. See, he was the person of their giving. Friends, when we give, we're not giving to the church. We're not giving even, let's say, directly to the missionary. We are giving to Jesus Christ. We are giving in worship to him. We are giving out of a love for the Lord and out of a passion for what he loves. What does the Bible tell us he loves? For God so loved the world. And let's get busy and get involved in worldwide evangelism. Amen? God so loved the world. We need to surrender our hearts first to the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, if you died today, would you be 100% sure of a home in heaven? Has there been a point in your life that you repented of your sins and you received the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord? Friend, if you're not sure where you would step into if you died today, God is not calling you to give this morning. He's not calling you to give to missions. Friends, giving money in a church cannot earn your way to heaven. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's gift of salvation is free. If you're here this morning, please don't take this message as a message for you to give if you're not saved. Now, God wants you to receive the gift that is given to you, the gift of eternal life. But as Christians, if we are born again, we understand what giving really means. Because Christ gave the example for us. He doesn't want our money. He wants our heart. He wants us to surrender ourselves afresh to him so that he may use us in this day. So in this first message on missions giving, let me encourage you to open your heart to the Lord. Their passion was evident because they had nothing to give. But they abounded in their generosity and joy because of their passion for Christ and the work of missions. Friends, they had no power to give. They had no funds to give. They had no life savings bank account. They had no investments. Friends, they were at rock bottom destitution. But their power was not of themselves. Their power was of God, whom they placed their faith in. And so they sacrificed, and they were willing to cheerfully give to the work of God. And lastly, the person of their giving is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reason why we give. Because he loved me. Because he loves you, and he gave his all. So then how can we as a people of God
not give our lives to Him, including our finances regarding missions.